The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Aaron Thompson, filling in for who knows where Julio Zamora is.
Where's Waldo? Do you love amaryllis as much as I do? This beautiful flowering bulb has a story almost as beautiful as the flower itself. Learn all about amaryllis during our first segment.
Christmas cactus are an extremely popular holiday plant. Hear about the differences from Thanksgiving cactus and Christmas cactus and how to grow them in our second segment.
Bring a sense of nostalgia to this holiday season by using fresh greens everywhere in your home. Hear about their use in history and the lore during our third segment.
Before you go out and buy a cut Christmas tree, consider a potted, bald, and burlapped tree you can plant after Christmas. We'll weigh in the options in our fourth segment.
After listening to our fig winterizing segment, a listener contacted us about how to winterize a fig that they have growing in a container but don't have a cool spot to put it. Hear all about it during our final segment.
So stay tuned, and we'll be back in the garden after these messages.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
High-yield brand bone meal contains 10% slow-release natural phosphorus. It helps all plants to develop sturdy root systems and stimulate healthy growth. You'll use it every time you plant bulbs. But it also is an excellent supplement fertilizer for roses, flowers, and vegetable gardens. High-yield bone meal is sourced from steamed bone meal, which provides a clean, natural source of phosphorus. High-yield is brought to you by VPG, the Fertilome people.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Lynn loves amaryllis.
I do.
Definitely a beautiful flower, and they're huge. Like the flowers are huge. Like
that. Stalks are tall.
Big red, crimson. Yeah.
Strap-like leaves.
Right.
They're great.
I mean, just seeing it from the process of as a bulb, right, where it looks just like a clump of.
It's a bulb. It looks like a big potato.
I mean, it does look like a baked potato, but it just, it well, I guess you could
it's
put
round.
Mr.
It's a round
head.
Potato.
Right? Okay. Yeah. All right.
But it's been around for a long time. And those of you watching on YouTube, this is a time where you won't see an amaryllis. We just don't have any at the moment, but we do want to talk about it. They have a great big flower on the top of them. Of a big stalk, like that stalk has got a girth of probably about 1 inch.
Right.
And it's probably about, I don't know, it can get to be 18 inches tall. Then the flowers are like trumpet style flowers. Most popular is red, but now, of course, they have different hybrids that are pink with white throats and different variations of basically pink, red, and white. So everybody, like, You know what's the one thing I hate?
What's that?
That where landscapers or people that hire landscapers only
think of them in the worst expression in the world, and my son has used it, and I hate it when he does. We're just hole diggers. We're just hole diggers. No. Gardening and the art of horticulture is not just a science, but it's an art. And that's
kind of an uninformed statement, an ill-informed statement.
Ill-informed?
Hole digger.
We're just doing it. I mean, it's always when he's tired.
All right,
and he's dug about 20 holes.
I got you.
The plant shrubs.
Forgot about the art. He's just thinking about the work.
That's right.
Gotcha.
That's right. But there's more to what we do, what Aaron and I do. I mean, Aaron's lucky because he gets all these great stories. A lot of people on the front line, like our cashiers and stuff, they never hear this stuff. Even though we do play the radio show through the store every once in a while.
Right.
And I go and I'll quiz them now and then, and they don't. They don't know. Anyway. But the thing that this story about the amaryllis, I mean, just sit back, relax. If you're driving, relax. Don't shut your eyes.
Please don't shut your eyes.
All right. So the name amaryllis, it actually means to sparkle in Greek. And it was a poem by Virgil. Now, don't we sound smart? More than hole diggers. And the flower was named for a shepherdess who fell madly in love with a gardener named Otello. The shepherdess, Amaryllis was her name, walked a path to his door every day for 1 month, and she pierced her own heart each day with a golden arrow. And the drops of blood where the amaryllis's heart fell created a path of amaryllis right to his door. Now, that's pretty cool.
Sounds dramatic.
I don't suggest anyone do that. But again, this is Greek mythology.
Very Shakespearean.
Right?
Drama-like.
Right? So, it's the tale is certainly a dramatic beginning to one of my well-loved flowers.
Okay.
The symbolism of the flower, also in Victorian times, that a man wouldn't give roses, but he would give amaryllis to a woman he admired. The red was sent to symbolize beauty, of course. And perhaps that's why amaryllis today represents beauty, love, determination, strength, and success. I know a lot of women that would exude that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You hear my cold?
I do.
You hear my cold out there, everybody? Yeah. I got my cold from Danielle. And I said, you know, how come you weren't as sick as I is? And she said, because I'm a woman. I told her, my late wife and my mother are applauding in heaven. She said, that's right, girl.
You tell him.
You tell him. Women don't get a chance to slow down. Mm. So again, if you give an amaryllis to a woman,
right?
Okay, beauty, love, yeah, but her determination, strength, and success.
It definitely sounds like
there,
it.
There you go.
Like a poem.
Do you think about next time you're thinking about roses? Maybe go amaryllis. But you better include that part of it. So,
How come you didn't get me roses?
But on Valentine's Day, you get roses.
Yes, no exceptions.
No exceptions. And send them to the office. You'll be the talk of the office. All right. So we talked about it. Amaryllis bulb can be like big, like a softball. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you'll get them in, they'll be in those plastic pots where they're already pre-planted. And that they're good. But again, if you can find them loose, you can plant them in your own decorative container and a nice pot rather than having to go with just a, chintzy, crummy plastic green pot. And size does matter, no matter what anybody says, that the bigger the bulb, the better the flower. And that the bigger bulbs will produce two flower stalks, and that each one will have between 2 and 5 individual blooms. So when you're trying to find those great big amaryllis, you're not going to find them at Home Depot or Lowe's. Go to your local garden center, and that's where you're going to find them, and that they're going to have the top size. We talk about bulbs from your garden centers. They get top-sized bulbs, not the cheapest ones that they can make the most margin on. They get top-sized bulbs. They may seem a little pricier, but they'll be top-sized bulbs. And to think, these bulbs are not like, you know, from around the corner that Jimmy went and grew them. These are from South Africa, South America, Holland. It's not something that you just pick up at your local wholesaler.
Right.
So these come a long way to get to your home. So amaryllis can rebloom. We get that a lot. It's like, how do you make them rebloom? So once it's done blooming, okay, the flowers all fall off or they start to dry on the ends. And once it's absolutely done, there's no flowers left, no buds, you're going to take that stalk of the flower bud, because again, it has a long stalk, and then it has these like strap-like leaves. You leave them alone, but you take the flower stalk, and about an inch above where the leaves meet is where you cut it. And you're just going to treat it like a houseplant. Just keep it watered. You make sure it gets good sunlight, and you're going to let it grow like a houseplant all the way through spring and into the middle of summer. You start getting ready, because what you're going to do next is going to surprise you. You're going to take it at around mid-August, and you're going to stop watering it completely. Why are you doing that? You have to force it into dormancy, and you let the leaves dry up, and they're going to look ugly, but you're going to create and get that cycle started for new blooms, and you have to let them dry up. So you cut those leaves once they get all dry, you cut them off, and then you take the bulb and you store it in a cool, dark, heard me now, dark place for about 8 weeks. It has to go through that dormant cycle to initiate its blooming. It has to go into the dark for about 8 weeks, okay? And it's got to be completely dry. Don't feel sorry for it. This is what it needs to do.
Right, it's going to dry up.
Right. And honestly, you're basically creating the environment where it would naturally grow, that it would go through a drought period, and this would all happen to get it to rebloom. So get your calendar out, and you say, all right, so I want it to bloom. Let's see. I want to go from this point, this date, and then you work 6 to 8 weeks backwards from that date you want it to bloom. And that period, so I want it to be, say, I don't know. So what's 8 weeks from today? Today's the 30th, so you figure December 1st. So if you want it to bloom December 1st, get your calendar out. So you go 8 weeks back. So you basically have all of November, and you have all of October. So you would start it at the end of September. That's when you would bring it out.
Professor Steve called earlier in the year. Absolutely. I remember
he goes in depth. Yeah, he said he's got his going.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Maybe Saturday I'll stop by.
He'll be in.
Yeah,
he'll be in and just say, you stole my spot. Anyway, but so you would start that in the beginning of September. Now, that's not going to be enough time for it to really go truly dormant. So I think you need to because you have to make it go dormant in mid, you know, say the 15th of August. It's not going to be put away long enough for it to go through that period, because you've got to be maybe 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. So now you're talking middle of September, middle of October. And so you're 6 to 8 weeks from then. So then you're talking the end of December. So for Christmas, that's why they're sold so often at Christmas. But you can force them to bloom at any time you want by using this method. So, okay. All right. 6 to 8 weeks. You're going to have this plant, and the flower stalk will show. And that you want to keep them staked so that they don't fall over. They can get real top heavy. Real top heavy. So consider using a stake. Then what you do is that you've got to give it regular water, even though it looks dormant, you'll see the leaves will start growing, and then all of a sudden they'll start budding up, and you just bring it back into that same environment where it was when it was blooming before you started the dormant cycle. Any questions?
No. Not at all.
Or you throw it out and get a new one.
I mean, that's probably what I would
do. That was what you would do?
Yeah.
You would do?
Sorry.
You could also, like, after Christmas, somebody came in and said, hey, I'd like to buy your amaryllis, and it's after Christmas.
Sure.
And I'd say, hey, I'd like to sell them to you. You may be able to get a deal after Christmas, and you can play with them. So, and see what you can do. You can keep it in, have amaryllis time so that they're blooming, you know, like every 2 weeks.
Last year, I got the pre-ones.
Pre-potted one in the plastic pot.
Yep.
Yeah. Have good success.
Yeah. But we ended up throwing it out.
I mean, their plants, not
puppies.
Right.
I got you.
So with amaryllis, I mean, they're not cheap.
No.
They're like $15 to $20.
Right.
You know, at least. But again, there's something special in that with the story behind it and everything else.
Yeah, ours got to
I love him.
I'd say about like 13, 14 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stalks. They're great. And they make actually a great gift that they're actually, a lot of them, like, we'll sell them pre-boxed so that you can just give the box to somebody and, you know, it's basically just add water. And, you know, sometimes it's actually already starting to grow in that box. And give it a try. If you've got questions about getting amaryllis, like Professor Steve went and called us and told us about how he had his amaryllis and he was in the stage where he was starting to take it out of dormancy. So,
yep.
Anyway, give us a call. Call that hotline, 609-685-1880. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Holytone. Holytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
If you're like me, then you absolutely love birds. The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomers Home and Garden Center has you covered. They're dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds of all sorts. Want to bring more birds to your yard? Then you got to see this place. Bloomers has a huge flock of feeders, birdhouses, birdseed, and much, much more. Want to feed the birds and not the squirrels? They have this absolutely cool bronze bird feeder that will drive those sneaky squirrels nuts. They'll be moving to the next door neighbor in no time. OMG! Bloomers have these absolutely adorable birdhouses that will turn your yard into the perfect bird B&B. They carry all types of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. Bloomers stocks Lyric, Kohl's, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and much, much more that will keep those beautiful birds coming back for more. Bloomers Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County. For more information and directions, check them out on the web at bloomers.com. Bloomers Home and Garden Center, you got to see this place.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. So, also a fun plant, Christmas cactus. Now, Aaron, all right, I always do this to Julio. Are all Christmas cactus the same?
No.
No.
My answer would be no.
Okay. I'm going to say ask why.
Because I've heard of Thanksgiving cactus.
Ah, see?
And I've heard of also Christmas cactus, which I'm assuming
they
is
because... They are two different plants.
Okay, so if they're completely two different plants, then what I was about to say is completely wrong. Because I was going to say that, is it just because they bloom at different times?
Well, that too.
Okay.
That too. So, all right, how do you know? All right, so here's the... On a Thanksgiving cactus.
All right.
You know how they're serrated on the top, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of toothed on there. So a Thanksgiving cactus is more rounded, where it's a softer serration, where on a Christmas cactus, they're more pointy.
Okay.
Okay. Fool your friends.
All right.
Impress your family.
I got you. That's cool. Yeah.
I think like my family.
My family's gonna laugh at me like
that. Oh, that's great. That's great. Now we anyway.
Yeah.
And also you gotta look at the pollen, because the anthers on the Thanksgiving cactus are actually more yellow, and a Christmas cactus, they're more pink and purplish. Purple, like a purplish brown. So there is a difference. And when you go to buy them, and you want it for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, make sure you're not buying the leftover Thanksgiving cactus, right? Because they are on their way out of bloom. Why do I know this? I was in Sam's Club. I go there. And I was picking up the grocery order. And they had really nice Christmas cactus. Actually, they called them the zygote cactus.
Psycho.
And that way they didn't have to say whether they're Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Oh.
And the fact was they were Thanksgiving cactus and they were going out of bloom and they were not of value. The plant with no blooms on it was nice, but only to people that are in the industry. For somebody to buy that at Bloomers, they would have said, oh, aren't you throwing these away?
You think the regional manager or whoever orders for the store knew that?
No, they go, Randy, and they give it back to the growers.
Well, I mean, like when
we sold 12, you have to,
go to the grower, or no, if the retail manager,
it's a widget, man.
Okay,
it's a widget. Just you know,
because they look at it and it's just like a kind of a blanket way to just say it could be.
It's probably
or.
A pain in the neck for them.
Yeah, to figure it out.
They've got poinsettias.
Yeah.
They're big, but they're just plain ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're destroyed. They're just thrown around the same way that they throw around their produce.
Sure.
You know, it just, you know, they don't see the damage that happens when that kind of stuff is handled in that environment.
Sure.
Like Home Depot will probably have some special thing for poinsettias at coming up, but they're treated like such garbage.
Throw them right in front of the door under that industrial heater,
right?
And bake them,
right? And that what happens? You bring it home, and here we go again. It's like I have a brown thumb. It's
right.
Like no, you don't. Home Depot has a brown thumb, and that, you know, maybe you can get some deals once in a while, but
sure.
But honestly, for any of the seasonal plants, they become just another seasonal decoration. It's not
right.
It's only for that season. It's not that they're skilled or anything else or can tell you how to take care of it. But the poinsettias are another show. But Christmas cactus are what we're talking about. You know, how much light? You got to think of, first of all, how these things grow. And that they both are native to Brazil. And they're found, like, they're epiphytic, so they grow in, like, the crotches of trees and stuff and on rocks and shady, humid conditions to kind of hang down. But the light, and they'll do better in brighter light, but it doesn't have to be, like, direct sun. Like, so many of our houseplants, it's like, yeah, full sun, you know, or shrubs. It's like, I need full sun but moist. It's like, those two don't...
Yeah, it doesn't
work very well together. But if you give them just It's bright natural light. It's enough. You don't want them in direct sun because it actually will burn their leaves and they'll get kind of funky. So if you ever had one where it like all of a sudden shriveled like an old woman, ooh, I'm going to get in trouble for that, you know?
Hey.
Aaron told me to say that. So send your complaint. Send your complaint mail to Julio Zamora.
Absolutely.
Where are you? Anyway, see? Julio usually gets me out of trouble like that. But what they do is they do shrivel up. And then all of it, they drop all their buds and you don't get any flowers. You want to kind of treat it like a succulent kind of.
Okay.
So it doesn't need a lot of water, but give it a drink of water, but let it dry out. Don't let it sit in water. You know, that will, you know, they'll start to rot. The temperature inside the home is perfect.
Right.
Perfect.
So for example, if I were to pick up one,
right,
and I wanted to repot it, what soils would you suggest?
Cactus soil.
Cactus soil.
Yep.
Okay.
Well draining, but will still retain some moisture.
Okay.
Not something like a heavy peat based soil.
Okay.
You know, not any of the professional potting mixes.
Gotcha.
You're going to want to go to and you'll see a lot of it's cactus and succulent mix. So you want to go with something like that.
Okay.
Did you know that they are photoperiodic?
I did.
There's a, because we're horticulturists. what that means is just like poinsettias, they need to get 12 to 14 hours of complete darkness per day just to start the bloom cycle. And it has to start 8 weeks before you want it to bloom. So it's kind of like how we were talking about the amaryllis in the previous segment. You have to start that 8 weeks before you want it to bloom. So mm-hmm. It's another, don't just look at it. It's like, look at the thing, you know, grows on these metal racks. No, they don't. That what happens is that the grower has to give them complete darkness for 12 to 14 hours and things will throw off a crop. I tell the story and I'll tell it again when we do poinsettias that I knew a grower and the town came through and was like, we're putting streetlights up. And they put streetlights up, and his poinsettia crop was completely thrown off because the lights from the streetlights screwed up that 12 to 14-hour period of darkness that was required for him in order to get the poinsettias to start coloring up. So there's a little bit of science. That's what it's all about. But I think Christmas cactus, Thanksgiving cactus are a nice enough plant on their own mm-hmm. to be kept in the house all year long. It's not just a holiday plant. You may find that you get that all of a sudden they're blooming in June. And why are they blooming in June is because that's when that 12-hour light and dark comes in. So the natural growth or flowering mm-hmm. period is going to be different because you have to force it into that growth period to get it to bloom for certain holidays. So don't worry about it. Be happy with it. I mean, I've seen them where they're in like 16-inch pots and these gigantic, just massive plants. Mm-hmm. They become like a big, it's kind of like a mound. So get your Christmas cactus. It's too late for Thanksgiving cactus. Again, the way that you tell the difference is when you look on the tip of the leaf, you'll see that it's real pointed. That's Christmas cactus. If it's kind of like rounded instead of points, that's Thanksgiving cactus. You don't want that one because that's already done blooming. It's the Christmas cactus is the one that you want. All right. Any questions? We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
We are proud to announce that Bloomers in the Garden has partnered with Renewal by Andersen of Greater Philadelphia, Delaware, South Jersey, and Southern Maryland. Renewal by Andersen is the top window and door company in the United States, specializing in replacement windows and doors. You might be thinking right now, what the heck do windows have to do with gardening? Well, Renewal by Andersen makes this beautiful garden bay window that's energy efficient and made from recycled materials. It's perfect for growing the finest indoor plants possible. When you are looking out your windows filled with plants in your beautiful garden, you don't want to see old windows that are cloudy, warped, or even rotting. That's why people in the horticulture community love Renewal by Andersen. Not only do we want our gardens to be beautiful, but their homes as well. Renewal by Andersen participates in horticultural events such as flower shows, earth days, and eco fairs. To get more information and set up a free home consultation, please visit www.philadelphiawindow.com. And be sure to tell them Bloomers in the Garden sent you.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Garland. Mantelpieces, table runners, you name it, garland and roving. Whew. They're all variations.
That's right. Get fresh.
The same thing.
Get fresh. You know, like, so when, like, I guess there's certain areas, like, in the... Like, for instance, if I went to my wholesaler or my the maker of garland and I said, I need garland, he would kind of say, oh. But if you say, I need roping, I said, oh, all right, I understand. They're basically the same thing. I expect a homeowner to tell me they want garland, but honestly, we use the term roping. So, all right, so what is it? Roping is because it's followed. Now, on YouTube, you can see this. I'm messing up your whole display.
Yeah.
Now, if you see this, can you see that?
Yep.
You got that? See this black rope? Can you see that?
Yep.
Real uptight? All right. So on a garland, okay, I have in my hand, it's white pine garland that is actually, it is mixed with boxwood. And there's a black rope where they follow it, and they take small bunches of white pine and periodically put boxwood in it, and that they're feeding it on this line, and a wire comes around, and it wires it all together. So you have to have the bunches prepared before you start making it. You can't just kind of throw it all together. There's a process. There are lots of different roping I'm using, but white pine. Okay, let's back up here. White pine is the most popular.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there is cedar, which is very nice. Sometimes it's called Western cedar, and a lot of times that comes from obviously the areas like Oregon. There's also you can sometimes get laurel, but laurel has been very hard to get. If you see princess pine or ground pine, at Bloomers, we stopped selling it. And we used to sell a lot of it. And it's very great, great texture. It's very soft. It's a great garland, except where it is not renewable. So if somebody goes out and we would get guys that would come in and that they would, during this time of the year, they would go into the woods and harvest ground pine. Once it's gone, it's gone. It grows very slow. It's not something you can transplant back in. Hmm. And so we decided, you know what? I took a walk around Parvin State Park,
right,
and I saw some wild ground pine. And where I just don't think it's right to be doing it, because it's been, you know, it's one of those things that can go extinct. And it is something that is plentiful in South Jersey. But I just, as a business and as far as a moral standpoint, I decided not to sell it any longer. So if you see Princess Pine out there, You know, just where it is. You'll see mixes like we have the boxwood and pine here, but there's also sometimes cedar and pine mix. You'll see some other mixes like we have what's called here. This is a mantle or a table runner, and that is, you see this, Aaron? You know what that's called?
What's that?
It's not balsam. It's not Fraser, but it's noble. And
I've never even heard of it.
It's a noble fir. It looks a lot like Fraser balsam. And that it has a little bit more of a waxy coating. This is also from the West Coast. This is from Oregon, Washington State, that area. There's berry juniper, which is, that's plentiful around, you know, in the Northeast for sure. I encourage you to get bases of like something like this is about 5 feet and it's a table runner. And for your Christmas dinner or for your kitchen table or for a coffee table, you use it, but you also get some of your own greens from your own landscape and add it to it and make it custom to yourself. People say, where'd you get that? And say, well, I made it myself. And that it just, you can do so much if you've got certain things. Beautyberry, we talked about. A few weeks back, I think there's other types of like winterberry holly is another one that can be put in. All of these are a great asset. Now we do have a wreath here as well. This is a balsam wreath from Canada. Oh no, take it back. This is Fraser. This is a Fraser wreath from North Carolina. This is a one-sided wreath where the back of it is a clamped ring. Can you get that in there?
Yeah.
You see it, Aaron?
It's there.
If you're looking on YouTube, please subscribe and please give us a review. 5 stars would be, we would love that. And certainly our sponsors would like that. And where that's clamped together, when it starts to dry out, sometimes it can shake loose. So you got to make sure that you know, if it's really dry outside or you have it inside the house that you need to mist it once in a while. But so all of these things, where did it come from? Where do we start using it? Do you know it became popularity and it became really popular when it was actually, do you want to drop that?
Very good.
I'm showing my age. Okay, so that crank call that used to be, do you have Prince Albert in a can? Because it was... actually like a tobacco.
And a can.
Yeah. Prince Albert, okay, all right, was from Germany, and that he was the husband of Queen Victoria of England.
Right.
All right. Keep with me, folks.
I'm going with you.
All right.
We're driving.
And Germany is where they used a lot of evergreen to decorate their homes.
Gotcha.
And so... Queen Victoria, and this is 1848, and Queen Victoria said, look, I want, for my husband's sake, I want to bring in and start using some of the evergreens as decorations around the castle, around the palace. And that's when they start using garland, and garland's like the original Christmas tree decoration, and certainly it's evolved since then. But they would just decorate it with dried fruits and things like that. And the farmers would love that because the dried fruits are basically stuff that they couldn't sell. And it was leftover. So, like, have you ever strung popcorn and cranberries? I mean, somebody out there has. Yeah, I know you have.
I'm sure people
have
done that.
If you have strung, all right, Bloomers in the Garden Nation, if you have strung popcorn and cranberries together to make a garland, call the hotline. We want to know. 609-685-1880.
Text us a picture, too.
Yeah. You didn't have to do it today if you've done it in your lifetime. Okay, it can be tedious. But so, all right, so how do Christmas trees become, you know, why do they become a thing? Christmas trees were Martin Luther. Nice. Stick with me, everybody. Martin Luther, the reformist. Right?
Yeah.
Tacked on the Catholic Church door, his Reformation. that he was walking through the forest and he was looking through the evergreen trees and he saw the stars, and this was at night, and saw the stars as if they were placed on each individual branch of the evergreen tree. All of a sudden, Martin comes in with the tree in the house. What are you doing? And they put candles on each branch of the tree to reflect on the evergreen that, for instance, evergreen in basically in Roman cultures and cultures previous, it was evergreen, okay, evergreen,
right,
so that it was eternal, it was associated with eternal life. Christians, eternal life, it's that same type of thing. Holly, like, well, all right, so where does holly come from? Holly, you ever grab holly and it's got some points to it? Yeah, they stick. The holly represents the thorn, crown of thorns on Jesus, and the red berries were drops of blood during the crucifixion. So a lot of these things, the circular wreath, it's infinity. It's all of those things have something to do with the Christian faith. But it's basically, I'll say it, it's ripped off from previous pagan cultures. Sure. So, but hey, I think that's the way everything's done.
Sure.
In a way.
Understand.
But that's why, I mean, it's important for me. I'll always have a fresh Christmas tree in my house. I wouldn't have an artificial tree.
Yeah, we do both.
Yeah, do you do both?
Yeah.
Good for you.
We have the artificial one in a family room and the real one in the living room.
Yeah.
Can't beat the smell.
Yeah, that's right.
Like right now in the studio, it is booming.
Yeah, like, yeah, all right, come on. I have a cold. I can't smell anything. But then again, after making all this stuff, I can't smell it. So, any case.
Yes, if nothing else for the smell. But, I mean, I wanted to rewind for a minute. Kudos to you for doing something to stand up for horticulture.
For what?
In terms of...
the environment?
Yeah.
For the with Princess Pine?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. To be honest, the retailer capitalist in me wishes that I could use that as a ground cover and sell it.
I understand.
But knowing that I can't.
Yeah.
And then also to think that you'll never be able to see it.
Sure.
I mean, it's literally, it looks like an evergreen that only grows about 3 inches tall,
right,
and will fill in a complete area.
Yeah. If I was walking through the forest, I might have been tempted.
Them to just take it?
To, well, take a clip in.
I'm sure there are some guys. I know the name of a guy where I can get it. And he goes through and he goes out and he takes it from the state forest.
Yo, the state park police don't play, though.
No, they don't like that. Yeah, so. No. All right. We're going to be back in the garden right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertiloam's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertiloam's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons, in a gallon of water. The best part is Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilum's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, it's early. It's not even December. It's the last day of November, actually. And if you're thinking about a Christmas tree, think about this. Instead of just getting a cut tree or, God forbid, an artificial tree, I'd like you to think about is how about putting in a bald and burlapped or a potted spruce and bring that into the house and use that as your Christmas tree. You're only going to keep it in for a short time, and that you plant it outside after Christmas. Yeah. Don't think because it's going to be growing, you don't want it to grow in your house, because when you bring, remember, it's nice out right now. We've had a great stretch of weather, but it's going to get cold. Think January, that when you put it outside, it's going to be cold. So here's what you got to do. First, dig the hole. Yes, dig the hole now, because the problem is if you dig it when it's time to plant it, the ground may be frozen solid and you'll be using a pickaxe and you'll be doing all this other stuff. Dig the hole now. Take a piece of plywood, put it over the hole so you don't lose anybody falling in the hole. All right. So you want to make sure that you dig the hole now. What do you do with the soil? Don't leave it outside. Leave it in the wheelbarrow. Bring it into your garage. And then that way, when you go to backfill around your tree, it's not frozen solid clumps. You with me? All right. Now, spray the tree with Wilt Stop. Wilt Stop. Chapstick for your plants. Okay? You got to follow the label instructions. A fancy word, anti-transparent, what it does. It basically encapsulates the needle so that it doesn't let off a lot of the moisture out of the plant. I don't care if you have a cut tree or a live B&B tree, but you want to do that. Either way. Now, don't bring your B&B tree. And B&B, what does it stand for? Bald and burlapped. It could be in a plastic pot. That's a container. But when it's done in burlap, it's called B&B. Don't leave it in your house too long. The shorter you have it in the house, the better. I say only a week. Like, you bring it in just before Christmas and you take it in right after Christmas or right after New Year's. You don't want it in the house more than a week. It has to acclimate out of your house if it's real warm or you've had it in too far. You almost have to take it out in stages, like put it in the garage for a couple of days and then move it out so it doesn't go right from 70-degree temperature all the way to 20-degree temperatures, because you can kill it that way. That's the biggest killer. And also, make that room the coolest room in the house. You got to shut those vents off. You don't want heat blasting on your tree. It's really important that you try to accommodate the tree. And even on a cut tree, if you cut down the amount of heat that's in that room, your tree is going to hold up a whole lot better. Watering. It's a house plant. It may be a spruce, or it may be a Douglas fir, or maybe something else, but it's a house plant. It's in your house and it's a plant. You're going to have to water it, but don't go and just water it. You're going to, first of all, when you bring that plant in, you know, like metal buckets that they use, like usually throw sodas in at parties and stuff like that.
Sure.
That you're going to place the root ball of the tree in one of those. And I want you to go and find those beach towels. I know it's off season. Find those beach towels that you had, and I want you to saturate those beach towels so that it is what gets watered and it keeps that moisture around it. I've had people that have come to me and said, I've got 5 gallons of water that is in my tub. What am I supposed to do? And it's killing the plant. The plant doesn't have a good shot of living. Plants don't drink water like we do, okay? It's moisture that they derive from the root system. So you just have to keep it moist. a container tree. You don't necessarily need to put it in a bucket. You could do it in a saucer. But again, you have that same issue. You're going to water it more like a house plant than with the a B&B tree. You're going to do the towels. With the container tree, you're just going to water the root system, but you want to make sure that it's not in any standing water at any time. Every other day, something like that. But again, you don't want to keep it in long. And when you take it out from your living room, then you bring it into your garage, you let it sit there for a couple of days, get used to that acclimation back to the outdoor temperatures. And then when it's time to do the deed, you take it in and you put it in the hole and you install it the same way we are. Twice the size of the bottom is what you should have dug that hole. You bring that soil from the garage. You mix it with bumper crop, pack it all around the root system, and you're going to push it down real, real firm so that it doesn't blow in those winter weeds and tip over. And you should have a great success. I know families that they basically plant one when each one of their kids, you know, and they go on rotation and they end up with a beautiful screen, not of arborvitae, but they have a beautiful screen of blue spruce or a Norway spruce or a mixture of Norway and Douglas, and it looks like a natural setting. It's a great idea to kill two birds with one stone. You've got your Christmas tree and now you've got a nice screen started. Again, do it, but you have to do it right. Don't leave it in the house for too long. Any questions, Aaron?
No.
There you go. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Here's the dirt on potting mixes. They're not all created equal. Espoma Organic Potting Mix gives roots the ideal balance of air and moisture. It contains a special blend of beneficial mycorrhiza to help grow stronger roots, bigger plants, and more bountiful blooms. Try Espoma Organic Potting Mix indoors and out for all your potted flowers, vegetables, and you'll see why it's the best. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Organic potting mix from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. A listener reached out to us on our YouTube page and commented on a post about winterizing their fig tree. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to know if they could, you know, if they had the option to be able to pot it.
Well, they had it in a pot, right?
Right. It wasn't a pot, but they didn't have a cool place to put it. And they wanted to know whether they could bring it inside in a fully heated place. And I think the answer to that is probably no.
It's better off not to.
Yeah.
It becomes what we call soft. Yeah. Just like how in the last segment we were talking about, you have to transition it back outside.
Yeah.
No. And this was a segment that we did on how to winterize your fig tree. And when did we do that? October?
It was last month, yeah.
So we did that in October, and that it was all about how to make a superstructure around your tree that was planted, or if you had a container tree, you could bring it into like an unheated garage or sun porch or something where it didn't get to the total element. So here's what they need to do, and this is what you texted them, right?
Or I haven't responded yet, but I definitely wanted to make sure that I got everything that I needed to get back with them. So, and I think I found out what I need. I think the key ingredient is mulch.
Yeah, basically. I mean, you could take it, and depending on what the pot is like, if it's just a nursery pot, you can actually take the whole pot and plant it in the ground as if it were, and just you're going to take it out in the spring.
Plant the pot and mulch it.
Yep, but if it's a nice pot, you're going to have to mulch it, and you're going to need like a foot, 18 inches of mulch all around it. And then you're going to start that wrapping process of wrapping it in. You're going to wrap it in cardboard. Then you can use chicken wire. And then you're going to just make sure it has a good insulation layer in it so that you're not going to have it freeze. Going to keep it, being you can move it, you can put it in the warmest part of your yard that's not subject to winter wind. And that will be the thing that helps. So you're basically doing the same thing as we recommended in our fig tree section, but you have to put that pot in a big section of mulch, and they call it healing in. Yeah. It's like, oh, we just heal them in. And that when people talk about that, they're basically taking the root ball of plants and getting them in mulch and kind of faux planting them in the mulch. But the key is it's got to be enough mulch so that it keeps it insulated, the root system insulated. It's the only and best way to do that if you can't bring it into a cooler spot. Bring it into the house can be a mess, so I don't suggest you do that. So again, plant the pot. If it's too nice a plot, you're going to cover it in mulch with about 18 inches of mulch on each side. You're going to plant it deep so that you're going to go over it probably over the edge of the pot about anywhere from 6 to 12 inches. Then you're going to build the cardboard superstructure around the fig tree, and then you're going to hope and pray that it's going to be fine. Pray for a mild winter. But honestly, you should probably have pretty good success. A lot of people don't do anything, and they're fine. All right. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Well, me, I don't know if we're going to see
question,
Julio
question
down by
mark
this or,
in the schoolyard.
All right. We're running out of time. Hope you guys had a great time. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, by the way.
Right.
And that we'll see you next week right here in the garden.
See you in the garden.